Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
Today, though, we are talking about membership. And so at the end of 2025, Cornerstone Christian Assembly came to a close. And we didn't jump in right away about church membership at Cornerstone Church, our Foursquare Church. Gave a little time. Our annual general meeting, we pushed it off to make sure we have enough transition time. Want everybody to know what membership is all about. And so this morning, I'm going to explain membership. And then next Sunday, we'll receive new members officially. And then you'll be able to participate in the annual general meeting. And so Foursquare members participate. Anybody can come to the AGM. You're called an adherent. You can't vote, and we don't vote on a lot. But that's why we wanted to take this time and talk about membership. We could have had a class and had it on a Sunday morning or a Saturday or something. But let's just do this on a Sunday morning so everybody hears the same thing, whether you're here in person, whether you're watching online. If you weren't able to catch the service, you can still watch this. So you watch the recording to know what I'm going to be accountable for, what I say in regards to membership. The other thing that I just want to draw your attention to is we've got two documents. And when you entered the building, if you came in from the main doors, on the right-hand side, in between the main doors and the boardroom, the main office, there's these two pages. One says Cornerstone Church is a membership form. And so it's actually what you would sign. We've got copies online. A number of people have already filled in the online form, and it shows up at our church office. You can fill in a paper copy as well. And then there's this document that's a 9-page document. We handed it out at Coffee with the Clergy, or had it ready for that. Muffins with the ministers, pizza with the pastors, those things. And it gives you some history about Foursquare Church. It lets you know a little bit about our founder. It lets you know about our local church. There's a couple pages that will let you know what I think about as values in regards to our church, and then there's a statement of faith on the back. So you're welcome to take a membership form and that at the end of the service. So we're going to talk about membership. I used to rent cars with some frequency. When I was a unit supervisor for our Foursquare district, I would travel around with some frequency, and so I'd rent cars quite often. I was loyal to no one. I'd rent from Alamo or Budget, or whoever was the cheapest, that's who I'd go with. But I would also become a member of the car rental agency. So I'm a Thrifty Blue Chip member, I'm an Enterprise Plus member, I'm a National Emerald member, I'm a Budget Fast Break member. I know that sounds you're probably impressed by all my memberships. But the reason why I would do that is a couple of reasons. One, I would often get coupons or free upgrades that they'd send to rent with them. But the best was, you can skip the line. So when you go to the counter, you come to a car rental place and you see everybody lined up, they will have another line for the members. Well, and so I would walk by in my executive status as the member. And the most amazing thing was the last time me and my son went to Phoenix this year. As we're on the plane, now you get free Wi-Fi. As we're on the plane, my email goes off, and I get an email from the car rental place that says, "Mr. Marston, your car is in space 55 with the keys in it. When you walk up to the counter, bypass it, go down the escalator, go to number 55 and drive your car away." And when I got to the counter, there were all these people, and I just, excuse me, pardon me, my car is waiting. But here's the crazy thing. Memberships at car places are free. It costs me absolutely nothing. It's kind of like having a rewards card at Tim Hortons. That's kind of the level. You just get one, so you, after however many coffees, you can get a donut for free. It's not that executive. Sometimes membership means something, and sometimes it doesn't mean a lot. Sometimes you have to pay for memberships. In where I live, the community I live, I paid for a membership, Citadel Community Association. I paid for a membership to be part of the association. I paid $30 for the entire year, and now I get discounts for events I don't go to. But had I go, you know, if I went to an event, then maybe I, you know, I'd get the $5 off or something. But there are other memberships that cost a whole lot more. My nephew is an avid golfer. He has a golf membership. Well, that's more than my community association membership. This is all leading up to the cost of church membership. For $99.95. No. Church, you too. If you act now, operators are standing by. Church membership is free, but it will cost you a lot. Membership is free, but it will cost you a lot. And I'm going to explain about that. Because we are a nonprofit organization with Canada Revenue Agency, we have to have members. And so we could leave it at that. It could be pretty meaningless. We're fulfilling the requirement of the nonprofit society. No, that's at the very basic level. But before I really get into what you're committing to as a member, I want to say this, and I really want to be clear. You don't have to be a formal member of the church to be family. Okay? You don't have to be an official signed up member, wear the jersey, to be family. You're part of the family of God if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And when you stand before the Lord, he is not going to ask to see your Cornerstone Church membership card. Our Foursquare Church is a global movement. We're in about 157 countries. We have 8,800,000 members. We have over 100,000 churches worldwide. We're part of a global movement of Foursquare Churches. And here's what the global leadership says about membership. It says, the church is made up of people who belong to God's family. Because of the relationship they have with Jesus Christ, the family members enjoy being together. Good. Christians from around the world regularly unite to fellowship in Foursquare churches. At some point, most of them ask, what does it mean to become a member? In Foursquare, it means that they have declared allegiance to Jesus Christ and are making an open commitment to the body of believers with whom they worship. It also means they hold to certain truths and adhere to Foursquare bylaws as they relate to membership. So essentially four things. We're committed to Jesus. We're committed to each other. We agree on our statement of faith, what we believe. And we adhere to the bylaws, which mostly have to do with congregational meetings. But membership means that you are making a formal commitment. It's a covenant relationship. And the commitment that we make, it's spelled out in that sheet that I referenced in the church membership form. It's spelled out in that. And I'm just going to walk through that this morning. And I pray that somehow, as I walk through a form, that God would speak to us. That there would be something of life that God could do in our heart. I don't know what he's going to speak to us about, but would you just have ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord might say to us together? We're going to trust him as I walk through this. We're going to look at a few scriptures about membership that talk about membership in the body of Christ. But I just want to be so clear, because this is going to sound like a little bit of a rah-rah Foursquare membership. That's not what this is. If you choose to not become a member, you don't have to wait in the long coffee line, right? When we get, this is the members' coffee, and then, you know, you're not a fast break member. For whatever reason, people do choose to not become members. For some, it's they haven't got around to it. Some, that they haven't thought it was important. Some have very good reasons for not becoming members. I think one of the best is some say, I can't fulfill that commitment, and so I won't become a member. That has a lot to do with integrity. We don't police membership. Well, you said you would. We're not like that. But some will say, I can't make that commitment, so I'm not yet ready to be a member. And some people have really strong feelings about memberships of any kind, and they're just not in. Okay, no harm, no foul. You are welcome, you are wanted, you are loved, and you belong. Okay, you are welcome, you are wanted, you are loved, and you belong. Member or not, you are welcome, you are wanted, you are loved, you belong. But there's a bigger picture about membership. We're going to talk about that now. I want to at least talk about membership in the body of Christ, and I think some of those things can speak to us. We're going to look at the book of Romans. how it relates to being part of a local church. Romans chapter 12, verse 4, Paul writing says, "For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another." As he talks about the body of Christ, he actually uses a physical body as an example. But we're one body, but we're different. "Having gifts differing according to the grace that's given us, let us use them. If prophesy, let's prophesy in proportion to our faith, or ministry, which is serving, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness." It's talking about we're all different. We all have different gifts in the body and functions, and we serve in different ways. But it's also with not just what we do, but how we do it. So he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So on the Sundays where we give out food hampers, we're not giving out the food hampers. "Here, take your hamper. How long is this line? Get it. You're here again. Come on." Okay. That's not ministering mercy with cheerfulness. Instead, it's, "We're so glad we're here. This isn't just a handout. It's a hand up. We want to come alongside and be helpful." The other place that really talks about this is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we'll read this passage. It's about 15 verses. "For as the body is one and has many members," this is talking about the body of Christ, but we're going to look at our church here. "But all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." And Paul says, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or spirit or free, we have all been made to drink into one Spirit." Wherever we've come from, we're one in the body of Christ, those that name the name of Christ. That's the church. We have local fellowships and denominations, all that. But the church is just those who name the name of Christ, and the Lord knows those who are his. And he talks about a physical body. Sometimes we get pretty sad if we're not like somebody else. "I wish I could be like them. I wish I can't serve that way. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, am I not of the body?' Is it therefore not of the body? If the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? And if the whole were hearing," what? No, that was a joke. Sorry if I were hearing. Where would be the smelling? Apparently it wasn't a joke. But now God has set the members. Here, watch this. God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. When I used to pastor two campus ministry, one was in the building we had at McKnight and 12th Street, and the other was in Airdrie, and I pastored both congregations. I remember having people come to me in Calgary and say, "Those people in Airdrie are just not friendly at all. Like I went there, nobody talked to me. Here in Calgary, this is such a loving congregation, wonderful. I'm so glad I'm here." And I go to Airdrie. Visitor would come up to me. "Those people in Calgary are not friendly at all. That, you know, I went to church, nobody talked to me. This church is so welcoming and friendly." And I don't think it was either church was unwelcoming or unfriendly or all that. I think God places people and knit them there. Just as he pleased. "And if if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary." Sometimes we think, "Well, how important am I?" You ever do a puzzle and have one piece missing? You feel that pain? Like, it's just, the whole thing's ruined. "Those members of the body which we think less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and the unpresentable parts have greater modesty." It's because something's not so visible doesn't mean it's not important. "But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to the part which lacks it, that there should be no schism." It's this phrase, that there should be no schism in the body. It means division, not separated. Wouldn't be divided. But we should have the same care for one another. If one suffers, we're all going to suffer. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it, with us. Now you're one body and members individually. Yesterday we had a gathering for Annie Ma. And I watched as this room was full of people who were a small sampling of the people that Annie touched, her life. And you think, how many, what difference can one person make? Apparently huge. And just the people speaking thanks to her. And I thought, everyone's important. We can all make a difference. We all do make a difference. Local church membership, it has to do with the covenant that we make among those who want to minister together. And here we go. I'm just going to go through the paper now. The first thing it says is salvation. You need to be saved. To be a church member here, you need to have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You can't be a member of this church without being a member of the church. And so the starting place is salvation. You're a Christian. Secondly, you've been water baptized by immersion. Water baptism in the early church, it was actually it was the symbol of church membership. It was a picture of church membership. And when we say as a Foursquare church, to be a member, you need to be water baptized by immersion, it does not discount. There's nothing in discounting infant baptism. People have come to our congregation and have been baptized by infants, and we do not say, oh, that doesn't matter. We're not so rude or crass as to say that. We believe differently, and yet we would say that infant baptism, and I don't have the heritage and the tradition and the understanding, we're asking God to covenant with that child, like we do in a baby dedication. And it matters, and it's significant. But it's different than baptism by immersion, where it's a believer's choosing God. Declaring, this is my dedication, this is my covenant with God. There's a moment with the child, we're saying God covenant with this child. Parents are making a covenant on the child's behalf. People gathered around, priests making a covenant. But there's a moment when we decide to make a covenant with God. I will follow Jesus. And so that outward declaration is the water baptism by immersion. It's not just a suggestion, it's a command. Go and make disciples and baptize them. You do not need to be baptized to be saved. But when you are saved, you need to be baptized. It's not an issue of salvation. Faith alone, sola fide, it is faith alone in Jesus. But when we are saved, then we're water baptized. The next thing the form says is that we're filled with the Holy Spirit. As a Foursquare church, we believe that when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there is an indwelling immediacy of the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit dwells within you, abides in you. Scripture will call it tabernacling, like the Old Testament tabernacle. The Spirit of God dwells within you. You are saved and you have the Spirit of God within you. Before that moment, before salvation, the Holy Spirit was with you. And we don't always recognize that. But so many times when somebody accepts Jesus, yields their life to Christ, they then say, oh, I can look back and I can see where God was, that the Holy Spirit was drawing me all this time. So prior to salvation, the Holy Spirit is with us. At the moment of salvation, the Holy Spirit is within us. We become spiritually alive. But there is a subsequent event called the baptism of the Holy Spirit, referred to lots in Scripture. John the Baptist will talk about, I baptize with water, but there is one coming who is mightier than I, who will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Jesus will say, tarry ye in Jerusalem. Tarry ye, there's the old King James. Tarry. You know, you memorize verses. tarry ye in Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. Wait. There's a subsequent experience. Fill me. As a Foursquare church, we believe that when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, you have the ability to speak in tongues. It does not mean you automatically do. And some people who are filled with the Spirit do not speak in tongues. Paul says, I wish that you would all. It's not, I wish you would. I would that you would. But we don't say, okay, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Let me hear you speak in tongues. Loved ones, it was never, the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues was never intended as a proof. It was as a provision. Never intended as a proof. And churches have got off on that. As a Foursquare church, just... if you ask the Father for the Holy Spirit, that's what he's going to give you. Baptize me. It's this coming upon. There's a difference between spiritual life and spiritual power. And there's a difference between spiritual power over sin and spiritual power for service. And there's lots more to talk about that, and we're not going to have time. Suffice it to say, be saved, be water baptized, be filled with the Spirit. Okay. And then we make this statement that you sign off on. I'm following the Lord in daily living. I'm following the Lord. At the back of our auditorium, following Jesus together. So many emails I sign, following Jesus together, Barry. We are following him. We are not stagnant. Jesus said, follow me. And when he said that, he kept on walking. And so the disciples needed to get up from where they were and follow. And so there's this disciplined life. We are following the life of a disciple. And loved ones, you need to know, just as an aside, I don't sign every email with following Jesus together. I only sign that to you. Other people, other believers, I will sign. Just even last week, I wrote a note to another believer, and I wrote, because he lives. Barry. And for other people who don't know the Lord, you know what I'll write? Sincerely. But to this group, I write, following Jesus together. Because that's what we are doing. We're family. But we're committed to a growing relationship, not following at a distance. And it's not a list of do's and don'ts. It's not perfectly following, but it is progressively following. I don't have it all together, but I'm sure not giving up. It's a commitment to growth. It's moving from being a spectator in the grandstands to on the field. We are an active disciple, and we're following Jesus. We're going from babies to being mature sons and daughters. I'm following Jesus in my daily life. The next thing it says, I'm regularly involved in church life. I probably should have adjusted that to say that I'm frequently involved in church life. Because regular can be like clockwork, Christmas and every other Easter. I am regular. That is not what that means. It means regular, frequently. There's a verse in Hebrews that often we talk about this assembly or this gathering together. It's not a commendation, it's a condemnation. Don't be like people who forsake the assembling of the saints. Do not forsake the assembly of the saints, as is in the manner of some. It's not so much talking about you got to go to church. It talks about what do you do when you get there. It's the assembly. What do we do when we're here being involved in church life? If you are going to be a committed, in covenant relationship member here, you need to be here and be involved in church life. Not like what I am at our community association. Right, that's, I'm a member. You need to be able to answer where am I participating? What does it look like? Now, sometimes, I can't tell you the number of times, I guess. People have come to our church hurting from other churches. I mean, just whatever they have gone through, it's like they've been beat up and wounded and have had bad experiences. And we want to be a place of healing, place of wholeness. And the number of people, I said, you just need to sit. I'm not looking for your participation. I'm looking for you just get well, just get healed. There was a man when we started our Airdrie church who came to our church. Man, he had been through the ringer, and it was probably 5 years. I just said, you just need to sit. I don't need you to do anything. I need you to sit and just receive for a while. And there's no, like Pastor Kathleen teaches in the Grief Share course, there's no magic. Okay, this is the year. It's been this long. You should be better now. But there is something about atrophy and physiotherapy that at some point you need to move again. At some point, you're going to do more damage by not serving, by not participating. And the Lord will walk you through that. If I had any verse about church membership other than what we talked about Paul writing in Romans and Corinthians, it would be this. It's from Psalms. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. It is this planting. The planting of the Lord. Those who are planted here and roots go down deep in relationship with one another, not planted in this building. This building will come and go. But it's these relationships where we are planted in the house of the Lord, and there is a flourishing. It means there's a health, there's a growth, there's a vitality. And it says even in old age. So no matter how old you are, you can still flourish. And there can be life and vitality. I had a pastor friend, I worked for him for a little bit, who used to say this, doesn't matter where you go to church, just as long as you go. I've lost my mind. It matters. It matters. I had never once said to my kids when we were growing up, it doesn't matter what house you live in, just as long as you live in a house. It matters you live here. We're, you know why? Because we're family and we love each other. And I know there are times when people will move from church to church, but may that be the exception. And there are times when God transitions someone to another church, even in the same city. But I think God doing it is a whole lot less frequent than us doing it. Be planted here. Let's grow in love and care for one another. It matters and you matter. And here, the next part is this, our declaration of faith. Loved ones, this is really important. What we believe is not something to be glossed over, skimmed over, ignored, or assumed. Oh, I'm sure they're fine. I'm sure the statement of faith is fine. Pastor Kathleen has completed her application for ministerial licensing as a Foursquare pastor. And and she's yet to be approved. And so all the work is done, but the licensing ordination committee is going to meet in a couple weeks in May, and will gladly, I'm sure, approve her. And But you need to know that we spent weeks together going through our statement of faith and a study guide that came with it, because what you believe matters. Doctrine matters. And so we interacted on pointed questions about what do you believe about eternal conscious torment? What do you believe about hell? What do you believe about judgment? What do you believe about salvation? Can you forfeit your salvation? There are things. There's an old phrase, I don't remember who said it, probably lots of people here might be able to attribute it to the person. I don't think it was St. Francis, but in the essentials, unity, and non-essentials, liberty, and all things love. The essentials, unity, and I've been a part of a lot of church ministerials and will say that in essentials, unity, and then not be able to agree on the essentials. But these 22 tenets of our faith, they're the essentials. And we agree on these things as a Foursquare church. This is what we say we believe. And it's really important what we believe about the Bible and how we interpret the Bible. Some will say, well, we take the Bible literally. Some will say we don't. And then we need to unpack what literally means. See, we will believe that it is literally the Word of God. But if we take absolutely everything literally, we believe it was a literal account of Job. We believe in the literal creation. We believe it. But there is some poetry written in the Psalms that if we take literally, God has feathers. Or God is a rock. So we need to know how to rightly divide and understand the word of truth. It's not enough that we agree with what the Bible says. We have to agree with what the Bible means. Because we will differ with other denominations and churches, not on what the Bible says, but on what that text means. And so, what about grace? What about healing? What about evangelism and our responsibility? What about moderation? And then even, this isn't written in the 22 tenets, but what about women in ministry? But our understanding of women in ministry is not based on culture. Our understanding is not based because our denomination was started by a woman. People will say, well, you must believe in women in ministry because it was started by women. No, we believe in women in ministry because that's what we understand the Bible to teach. We do not disregard the texts that might be challenging and say, well, that doesn't matter. We explain those texts with an understanding that we think is congruent with the rest of Scripture, with the character and nature of God. But so it is really important when it says, yes, I believe the 22 tenets of faith, that you read them, that you look, that you understand what we believe, because doctrine matters. And in this day and age, doctrine matters. The world is getting darker and a deep darkness covering the people, but we're not afraid of that, because arise, shine, your light has come, and the glory of the Lord will be risen upon us. The last few things that we'll talk about this morning. Supporting the church. We support the church. We commit to support the church spiritually. And there's so much spiritual things that happens, but in Ephesians it says to strain every nerve, to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We work really hard at being in unity. We don't want to just be in the same room. We want to be in the same spirit with the same love and the same purpose. It means we don't do things that work against one another that are divisive. There's no place for politics. We want to be in one accord. And loved one, there's power in being one accord. All we got to do is look at the book of Acts with the day of Pentecost. They were in one room, in one spirit, in one accord. And the outpouring of the Holy Spirit happened and the church was born. We say, wow, that's amazing, being one accord. Guess what? That wasn't the first time we saw people in one accord. All the way back to Genesis chapter 11, we find the Tower of Babel. And they had one mind, and the Lord said nothing's going to be withheld from them. There is power in agreement, and we need to be in agreement, in unity. Bad attitudes are contagious, but so are good ones. And so we are committed spiritually, the spiritual culture and climate of our church. We're going to be supportive of one another. The Bible says this, and most people misquote it. Most people say the power of life and death is in the tongue. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says this, the power of death and life is in the tongue. And it's in that order because it's far easier to speak death than life. So we need to choose to speak life, not only to one another, but about one another and behind each other's backs. We're going to speak life, esteeming each other better than ourselves. And then spiritual gifts. It's right out of the pages of Scripture. It means that we desire for them to be operating in our lives. When we come together, to be willing to use our gifts. To build up the body of Christ, not to tear down. With all humility, not promoting our gift or ourselves, but to build up the church. I've had so many people, just a little while ago, somebody came. They contacted our church office and didn't get the right answer they wanted from Shauna. So they came to see me, gave them the same answer. But it was, I want to come to church, and I want to minister, and I want to be a leader. And I said, no, you can come to the church. And then they said, but you need to know, I have such a good reputation. I've been at this church, 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 and I've been at this church. And I wanted to let them know you're losing credibility as you keep talking. About not being planted, about not being committed. And I know you like to speak. People have said, I love to preach. I want to know, do you love the people you're preaching to? I love to lead worship. I want to know, do you love the people you're leading in worship? Because this is a family and this is a community and we're not closed, we're open. There's room, but it's not just about the giftedness. We want to use our gifts and figure out a way to use them. And so many people are so gifted. And there's a verse, and this helps me sleep at night. It says, your gift will make room for you. And it doesn't mean immediately. And we don't want to have people waiting in the wings. And I know some have been frustrated about how do I break into. We're trying to figure some stuff out. We just trust that your gift will make room for you. God will make a way. And spiritually, we pray for each other. Colleen came to prayer this morning. It was so wonderful to have you there. And she said, man, this is a praying church. We pray on Wednesdays. We pray on Fridays. We pray before the service. We pray and listed all the places we're praying. We must believe in prayer. But it's not enough just to say, I'm praying for you. Can we say I'm praying with you? Let me pray with you right now. There's something of ministry to one another that we pray with each other. Loved ones, this is our Christian family. For some, this is the only Christian family they have. And if we're not praying for them, no one is that we know of. The prophet Samuel said this to the people of God. He said, far be it for me to cease praying for you. Far be it for me to sin against God, sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you. How seriously he took prayer. Far be it for me to sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you. And so members, we take that responsibility seriously. We will pray for one another. And we support the church physically. It says by attending and serving. Somehow we need to move people. When we sign up for membership, you're moving from the front room and the dining room to the kitchen. What I mean by that is sometimes people, you have guests over and you'll have this meal together in this lovely evening, and they'll say, oh, we should do this again. And then they leave and eat, and then it's all the dishes and you're completely exhausted. And yes, we should do it again, but not quite tomorrow. Sometimes we do church events like that. Oh, wasn't this great? Let's do it again. Okay, come help. Because the serving team, they need to go to bed now. Just how much work is involved in for it, it just happens. Watched Jasmine yesterday running around looking after every detail and did such a wonderful job of pulling a team together and people ministering and serving to make this, the celebration with Annie so meaningful. But it doesn't just happen. It's not just about the spiritual gifts. I think it's about being helpful. Where it says, I'm gonna be here and participate and be active. I wish there was a verse that just said, be ye helpful. But that's essentially what we're saying is, be me helpful, I will be helpful. The last two things, then we're going to be done. To support the church financially, tithes and offerings. As a member, you're saying, I'm going to tithe, I'm going to give offerings. And tithe, God picked the number, 10%. 10% of our income comes here. Loved ones, Cornerstone Church is not God's only storehouse. It's not his entire storehouse. It's a storehouse, and there are lots of worthy and wonderful places to give. But when you say you're a member, okay, even the world understands, put your money where your mouth is. That's not a scripture, but that's the concept. I'm signing on, I will tithe here. And you can't tithe 5%, it's 10%. You can't tithe 15%, it's 10%. 10% of our income, as a member, we say comes here. That there would be enough, and there is, and we're so grateful for God's provision. But his provision hasn't been by ravens' mouths, it's been by God's people, because you've been so faithful. So as a family, we all have a part to play. And then we give our offerings as unto the Lord. We give to benevolence to help the food hamper. There's other areas we give, but we're saying, yes, I'm committed to tithing. And love, this is not, nobody's forcing this. This is free to choose. But when you choose, we with integrity say, okay, this is what I'm going to follow through on. And then lastly, submitted to leadership. This recognizes the God-given plurality of leadership. Doesn't mean just me, it doesn't mean just me and Pastor Kathleen, but lots of leaders in lots of different areas of ministry. But it's with a supportive attitude that we come. We don't make it harder than it needs to be for our leaders. It's not like putting rocks in the backpack. It's harder, it's resistant than it needs to be. We submit to one another as we function in different roles, but it says, how can two walk together unless they're agreed? And so it's this humility that hopefully our leaders have. Foursquare, we really promote servant leadership. When we may not always agree, but we can figure it out because we're in covenant relationship with each other. As we follow Christ together, God's the one who appoints leaders, and God can work through leaders, and leaders need to lead. And that is the summary of what membership looks like. That's what the commitment looks like.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.